I'm Dr. Tim Tuden, pastor and founder of Harvest Christian Ministries in Baltimore County, Maryland. Thank you for taking time to listen, whether it's over our radio broadcast, on CD, podcast, or our website. I really do believe that God has a special message just for you, a message designed to encourage you, to strengthen your faith, and to guide you in your daily living. Let's go now to the sanctuary of Harvest Christian Ministries for a worship experience already in progress.
What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch or keep?
Amen. What child is this? As we come this morning, we're grateful to God that we know the child, and that child is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let us bow today in this place. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ, the breaking news, the important news, the life-changing news. As we come today, may we decrease and may you increase. Save someone today, encourage another, but when this time is done, will give your name the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There's a word from the Lord today, and it comes from the Gospel of Matthew, and gospel simply means good news. Matthew happens to be the writer of this text. And there in the second chapter, verses 11 and 12, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. I want to share this morning from the sermonic title. It's simply, In Search of the King. In Search of the King. One of the most important times in our history in the 1840s was the gold rush. People packed up all they had, sold all they had to go to California with hopes of discovering gold and making it rich. They left their families, and sometimes the women were left to pick up the slack, but it was a dream. It was a hope to find gold, an important part of the America experience. And the truth of the matter is, we too today are people who are searching for something. We've got our eyes on whether it's fame or fortune. It may be love, and I hope all the right places. It may be peace or joy, but we're built that way, to where we're constantly looking and searching for those things or those people that might help us to improve ourselves. God forbid you just stayed the same and never wanted to improve yourself. You're always looking to better yourself and to find that which will enhance you. And that's what these gold rush folk did. They were out there, the 49ers. They were trying to find that fame and to hit it big. This morning we meet three wise men, and I would say that they are wise because they were in search of the king. That's great wisdom. They were looking not just for anything or anybody, but in particular, the king. They were called the Magi, and some have coined them as being astrologers, but they followed a star. Some of y'all say, now, Reverend, I checked my horoscope this morning, and it said, I know some of y'all still do horoscopes, but let me tell you, everything you need is in the Word of God. The horoscope might just mess up, have you getting fired or getting you in trouble or something, but if you stick with the Word of God, it will guide you. Oh, some of y'all, I'm a Leo. And back in the past, I would listen, okay, Leo, you are that. Yeah, okay. But when it comes to the things of Christ, the search for the king becomes so important as believers. And so this morning as we share together, we're going to talk about the importance of them having a goal in mind. There was something that they were trying to achieve specifically. And they did this by bringing gifts with them. They did not come empty-handed. And they were open to the guidance of God. And this morning we'll look at each of those and see how we might be able to apply them to our lives. That's what the Word of God does. You can find any biblical character and say, okay, let me move that name and put my name in. How can this word help me where I am today? Because I'm searching for the King. Amen? Let's talk about the goal, and we'll look at the first part of verse number 11. It says, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. That's it. They really came to worship the king. Now, keep in mind that this is maybe 2 years beyond the manger. This is not the scene on your Christmas card, but this is a Jesus who's probably about 2 years old. Joseph's got a place now. He's got a little house. He's set up. And so they come and they follow this star that leads them to the residence of the king. Now, I know you've been to some big houses and some big places, and I've been to the White House and some other places, but coming to the house of the king, Don't you feel royal already that, you know what, you have been on a mission and all of a sudden now you find yourself at this place? But it's not just to say, oh my goodness, I'm with the king, but they did something. They bowed down and worshiped him. Now, in some cultures, to meet people, you automatically do this. You bow. That is to show respect. It is almost a hello, how are you doing? And when they get there, there's no other business but to worship the Lord. What is your goal today? What is it that you have in mind as you come as a believer? What is it that you have on your radar? For them, there was one goal. What's your goal in life? My goal in life is to do that which pleases the Lord. And so therefore, I love to worship him. You say, well, we kind of got that. Every Sunday, I'm just up and saying, can we give God some praise and can we worship him? And to worship means to fall down. And you're not careful, you'll fall down to the wrong person. A fall down to the wrong thing, and you begin to worship that job or your car or your good looks. Oh, I know y'all with me this morning now. And you'll say, oh, look at me in the mirror. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Amen. That's one place you got to go past every Sunday morning, every day, in fact. But they come and they take the time to just bow and to worship he who is the King of Kings. And it did something for them. See, it's not really about you. When you come before him, it's not to pat yourself on the back, but there's something that happens when we give God the praise and give him the honor. Don't you feel better when you worship him? That you might be in a situation and grandma would just be on the front porch and, and she'd just be whining and moaning because she was what? Giving God some praise. She was worshiping him for who he is. We praise God for what he's done. We worship him for who he is. And they have found a king. My God, there's a king in the community. Christ is on duty. He is available. And so that's what the Bible says, that we ought to what? Worship him in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such. He don't mind if you worship him. You won't offend God if you worship him. He won't be mad if you gave him the praise, even right now. Amen? And so he have put, I believe, in us a worship chip that once activated, you'll give God some praise. Something within you to say, you know what? I don't mind throwing my hands in the air and thanking him for everything he has done. They had a goal in mind. What y'all doing? Going to find the king. And then what? To worship him for who he is. That's the good news of this verse, that you will find yourself in situations in life where you say, you know what, I may not say a word. And it doesn't say they said anything, did they? They came in the house, they saw Mary, and you know, Joseph was on the scene, but they were not important. The important person was who? The king. Can you imagine grown men bowing down to probably a two-year-old and saying, I know who you are. You are my king. And once you come into the presence of the king, your life will not be the same. Now, will it? No, it won't. Because something happens on the inside that says, I'm in the presence of royalty. I have a goal in mind. It is to bow and to worship the king. Yeah, I found him, but now that I found him, what you gonna do? I found him, and I'm gonna praise him. I'm gonna bow down to him as the king of my life. But also, they brought gifts. They didn't come empty-handed. You know, we'll come empty-handed to the Lord sometime. We come and say, I need something, and we didn't bring anything at all. It was custom of the East to bring something for those who were superior, those who were to be honored. And so they bring the gifts. They open their treasures and presented the king with gifts of gold. Amen. I remember the day I thought I was somebody when I got my first gold chain. Man, I thought I had it going on. and still got it in my sock drawer right now. I got a gold chain. Man, I thought I was really hitting it. You know, to have some real gold and not the other stuff that changed. Oh, come on, y'all. Y'all with me this morning. Stuff that didn't change colors, that, you know, that's a, but it was real gold. Yeah, I think my wife bought that for me. That's where I knew I was in then. I think she bought me that gold chain. But gold means royalty. It means that this is important, and the person that I'm giving the gold to, I'm not just giving something that's secondhand. I'm not just giving something that's used, not just giving my leftovers, but I'm giving him the best that I have. And to give him the best you have is to give him yourself. Amen? He know who you are. He made you. And so I'm coming. I'm giving you my heart. I'm giving you my mind and my body. God, take control of my life. They brought something that was worth something. They brought gifts from their treasure, and they were specific for the king. You with me this morning? Amen. And they also brought frankincense, which really was an expensive incense that was used during special offerings and worship. And so what they brought to the king was valuable stuff. Amen? And they knew that to get this, I mean, you know, it wasn't like you had to go to Macy's, go to North. No, this was some serious stuff. This is not like the incense you had back in college. I'm telling my age this morning. Some of y'all burnt them incense. Man, I'm trying to keep it real this morning. Didn't you? Yeah, they back in style now. Yeah. What are you trying to hide? Oh, amen. Frankincense. Can I just testify? Amen. Frankincense, and it was important. I thank God for them wake-up moments, the things that keep y'all alive. You know, I praise God for that. They're talking to me. Frankincense was this special incense. And then they brought myrrh, which was a perfume, a gum of sorts, that was used also as an embalming, a medicine of sorts, that persons who would be anointed for their death. And so prophetically, all of these mean something in the larger context of what they brought. And so today, just bring yourself. And what he gives you as a believer is you have a gift. You have a spiritual gift. If you are Christ-centered, if you are a Christ follower, you are able to get a spiritual gift. And you may not know that gift. My gift is encouragement. I'll encourage until the cows come home. I just enjoy doing that. God is, but he's given you something else. Some have gifts of exhortation. Some have gifts of prophetic gifts. Some have gifts of healing. He gives them severally to the believer. And so what do I bring today? That which the king has put in me, I can do to help someone else. They brought with them things that were valuable to them. What's the most important thing to you, non-materially, that you have to offer? I would say again, it is you. But I bring myself today, just as I am, shaky and some timing and not always firing on all the cylinders, but I come just as I am. Aren't you glad today he still accepts you? Amen? And we are to be an offering unto him. Not always what you say, but just say, here I am, use me to your glory. And won't he do it today? I mean, he don't need any of us. He could do it all by himself. But he chooses to use you in the larger community to reach somebody for Christ. Ever been used by him and realized, all right, I think he used me today to be a blessing to someone. It is the gift he's put in me, and that is to share with someone else. I say they were not the same after they left that place. They had a goal in mind. It was to come and to worship. They brought gifts, expensive gifts, valuable gifts, unto he who was worthy of the gift. But finally today, there was this sense of guidance. After it was all said and done, verse 12 says, and having been warned in a dream to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. And the story is this. Herod was that mean king who tried to fake it and said, "Why don't you go find out where he is? I want to worship him." He really was feeling bad about his authority. He said, "Another king other than me?" And so his motive was, is to try to give me the information, so I can go and destroy this king. My, there's some Herods in our own lives, aren't there? Folk who want to destroy you. Folk who have a motive in life, and they mean you no good. There's a Herod on your block. There's a Herod on your job. There's a Herod someplace in your experience, and they're saying, "Look at here, won't you help me out? Just go check him out and let him know that I want to find him." And I said, no, but there was another voice and another command. And every now and then on your phone, your Siri will mess up, and she'll send you the wrong place and guide you some other place. But they heard, and they heard by way of a dream from God saying, "Don't go back the beltway. Go through the city." Amen? "Don't go 95, go Route 40. Don't go 97, but go Route 1. Go back a different way." And God is saying to us today that I'm sending you to the same place, but by a different route. Amen? And God is trying to take us all someplace, but he says, "Don't go the route that you want to go, but listen to me, and I'll send you on the right route." He said to them, "I'm guiding you by my spirit." Isn't that good news today? That as much as I want to go a familiar place, he said, you are too familiar with that route. You know every exit on that route. You know every speed trap. I'm sending you on a back road. But it'll take you to the same place that I might get the glory. And Herod will still be scratching his head. Are they back yet? No. It's a different route. And folk are wondering, are you back? They think they got you figured out. But when you listen to the word of God, you are doing it the right way. It says, "I'm being guided. Guide me, O thy great Jehovah. Pilgrims in this barren. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Guide me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I walk no more." My God, which way are you going? Check your map. They were guided. And today he's guiding each of you. We get so stuck with the familiar that it's hard to break or to change when God speaks to us and says, "Not that, I don't know about you, can I just testify? You know, I get locked in." And God said, "I'm going to do it different this time. You're looking to see how I blessed you last time, and I'm going to change it up." Amen? That's why you never dismiss anybody, because God can use anybody to get the word out. And so today, be guided by his spirit. Man, they were on a real search for a real king. The true story is told of a 5-year-old boy who wanders from his home. He ends up at the local store, a little general store in town, and he's there just gazing at the cookie jar and the candy. That's old school stuff. But what he didn't realize is that his parents thought he had been kidnapped. He's missing, and so the community is in an uproar. Where is he? And unbeknownst to him, there's a whole search party that's been formed saying, "I'm trying to find this 5-year-old boy." It's not like him just to wander off. And sometimes we think the worst, and what else could have happened? There was not the days of putting up the silver alert and saying, "Look out for this car." It was just word of mouth. And meantime, he's in the store. And the shopkeeper says, I know him, but it's unusual to see him by himself. And so she takes the initiative, puts this little boy in her car, and drives him back to the neighborhood. As the story goes, once she turned the corner, all they saw was her car and the top of a boy's head. And they got excited, say, "Oh, I think he's been found." Can I testify? That was me. I was that 5-year-old boy. Everybody said, "My God, he's missing." But you know what? Later in life, I did get lost. Lost in my sins, but I remember the old hymn says, "Amazing grace, How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Aren't you glad today he's found you? Can I flip the script for a minute? You're not searching for the king, but he's trying to find you. There's a warrant out for your arrest. My God, he's trying to find you and to let you know to surrender unto him. Anybody want to surrender today? That yes, I've been found. I was lost, but the king has been asking about you. The king has been by your house. The king has stopped by your experience. He is searching for you. The Bible says he is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all might come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. What are you looking for? Who are you looking for? What's the description? How can I help you define that which is missing in your life? And the truth of the matter is, not everybody has found him. But while you're looking for him, he's looking for you. And that's because he knows exactly where you are. Will you surrender today and say, you know what? I've been caught by the king. That the search is over. He has found me just as I am. Today, when you leave this place, you'll be looking around, being alert, knowing that I found the king, and now I want to share him with someone else. That is the word of God today. It's already blessed. Stand all over this place today, and let's give God a praise. Are you searching for something today that you've not come across? God is so good. He's so worthy, and he's so personal. He's all the world to me. Is he all the world to you? Jesus is all the world to me. My life, my joy, is my strength. From day to day, without him I. When I'm sad, when I am sad, to him I go.
No other one can cheer me so.
When I
am sad,
he makes me.
He makes me glad.
He
is my.
Now let's say it one more time if you mean it today. Jesus is everything. Jesus is all. Is that your testimony today? Can't live without him. Every day I need him. When I am sad, I want to introduce my friend to you. His name is Jesus. He's alive and he's well. And he's available just to you. And today you can have a personal relationship with him. But it takes some doing on your part. You have to confess your sins to him and he'll accept you in. How do I know that? One day he saved my soul. One day he made me whole. And I declare today, life has not been the same. I was saying to my wife last night, I said, you know what? I kind of forgot the days, what I used to do on Saturday nights. It's a different situation now. I'm sold out. I bought in to Christ. Am I perfect? No, I'm not. Am I searching for him that he might eventually turn around and catch me, sure enough? Yes, I am. As you come today and you bow your heads, I want to offer Christ to you today that you might consider him to be your personal Savior. There's none like him. Bible says that if you confess, if you say it with your mouth, that I believe that God sent his son, Jesus, to die for me. I believe that. I believe he also rose from the grave with all power in his hands. The Bible says if you can get that into who you are and you confess it, that you'll be saved. What does that mean? That I've got life eternal. Not that I'll be perfect, but that I've got a Savior and his name is Jesus. I want to just take a few minutes of your time while those heads are bowed today and just to be real with you and pose the question, are you saved today? If you left this earth today, will you find your home in heaven? That's a deep question, but an important question. We all think about death. On that day, what will happen? I have the blessed assurance that there's a place he's prepared for me. Take a moment today. If you've never given your life to Jesus, here's a great opportunity for you to do it right now in this place. As you bow those heads and you search your heart today, only you know whether or not you've opened your heart to him and you've become saved. If there's some doubt today, Romans 10, 9 and 10 in your Bible spells it out. It's right in the text. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God is raising from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Because with the heart, man is able to receive him. Amen. If you're sure today, without a shadow of a doubt, no pressure, if you know that you're saved, just now begin to put your hands together and give God the praise. Amen. If you're not sure today, you can whisper that prayer, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And I want you to come into my life and to save me and to make me whole. And he'll do it. He's done it so many times before in the lives of those people standing next to you. They can testify. I'll never know whether you're saved or not. I have no save meter. They go, oh, there's one in the back. They don't have it. I have no idea. I just know I'm saved. And my household is saved. But I can't speak for anybody else. Only you know. But don't let this moment pass. Old Saint said, maybe your last time. Receive him today. I trust you have if you haven't. Give God a praise today. Amen. Amen. Maybe you've come today, you desire to be a part of this fellowship called Harvest. The doors are always open for you to walk or to just meet with one of our deacons there around the building. Say, you know what, I think I want to connect with you all formally. That's great. But I always say what's most important is you're saved.
I pray you were helped in some way by this message. Be sure to follow Harvest Christian Ministries on radio, CD, podcast, or over our new website. It's cometoharvest.org. That's come to harvest, C-O-M-E, the number 2, and harvest.org. Take time to experience the website and all that we have to offer as a ministry. In the meantime, pray that God will continue to allow us to reach a community for Christ for the cause of the kingdom. I'm Dr. Tim Tootin. Have a great day in the Lord.